It's good to be here with you this morning.
Thank y'all for the opportunity to present God's word to you.
Got through Bible class, all right, so we'll see how
we do. No, we finished, if you weren't here in our Bible class, we looked at a couple of parables. We looked at the parable of the two sons, the parable of the wicked husbandman, and then the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 21 and Matthew chapter 22. And one of the points that got brought out at the end of those three parables was the king sent out an invitation. He sent out an invitation to both good and bad, to all. He sent out this invitation. And I noticed on y'all's door over here, above it, what's it say? It says the mission field is beyond these doors. Beyond these doors is the mission field. And that's absolutely true. Absolutely right. Beyond these doors is our field, is where we should be laboring. And that's something we all must do. That's not something for a few individuals. That's something all of us as Christians should be doing or striving to do, is taking out that invitation, sharing that invitation with all. Not discriminating against individuals as to who is worthy or who is not, but taking it to all. You know, people cannot come to the knowledge of the truth unless they hear. That's one of our things we quote as one of the steps of salvation. You have to hear the word first. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They have to hear it. If you go a few verses up, though, in verse 14 of Romans 10, it says, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they will not all obey the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can people believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless someone takes them the gospel? As was mentioned in my introduction, I am from a Baptist background. I would not be here unless I heard the gospel, unless someone taught me the gospel. I'm Baptist. I'll ask, is anybody else in here from a Baptist background? A couple. Methodist, Catholic. Who grew up in the church? Y'all are in the same boat. Y'all are here because someone taught you, because someone took the time to teach you. None of us would be here unless someone thought we were worth the effort and time to teach the gospel to. My question this morning is this: are we doing the same for others that someone did for us? Are we doing the same for others that someone did for us? Are we taking the gospel to others just like someone took the time to take it to us? Because we should be, shouldn't we? If we claim to be followers of Christ, which we do, if we claim to follow the New Testament, which we do, we should be taking the gospel to others. We can quote Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and take the gospel, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, Mark 16, verses 15-16 say very similar. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Do we believe those verses? We say we do. Jesus told his disciples to go into the world and teach the gospel. Beyond these doors is the mission field. Go into the mission field. Some will say, well, that was written to the apostles. Yeah, that was them he was telling to go. Well, what did he tell them? He said, go and do what? Teach them to do whatsoever I commanded you. What did he just command them to go? He told them to go. He told them to teach others to go. So that's what we should be doing. Too often we sit back and expect people to walk through these doors or for someone else to do the work. When we look at Acts chapter 8, we can clearly see that it's not just the responsibility of a few. It's not the responsibility only of the preacher, perhaps, or the elders or the deacons. It's the responsibility of all of us as Christians. In chapter 7, we have Stephen being stoned for declaring Christ. And then in chapter 8 begins with this. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Stephen was killed. Saul consented to his death. And from there, a great persecution arose on the church. Only the apostles remained in Jerusalem. Everyone else, it says, was scattered abroad. All the other disciples of Christ. And then you jump down in verse 4. Therefore, they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Those weren't the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Those weren't the apostles that were scattered abroad. These were not only elders or deacons or preachers. These were followers of Christ. They were scattered abroad and they went teaching the gospel. That's a responsibility, and that's a responsibility of all of us. Sometimes we can sit back and think, I don't know enough. I don't know enough to be able to teach somebody or to bring the gospel to someone. That really requires a lot of knowledge. You're here. You're a member of the church. You know what it takes to at least get that far. Talk to somebody about that. Teach somebody that. Show somebody that. You know what you had to do to be saved. Share that with someone. If you don't feel prepared, well, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord thy God in thy heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh for the reason, for the hope, or for the reason of your hope, that with meekness and with fear." If you don't think we know enough, or if you don't think you know enough, you're not confident enough, then study. Study more. Learn more. Go to a preacher. Go to an elder. Ask for more, to learn more, to study more. Direction or guidance as to what to study, how to go about studying. But get prepared, because we all have that responsibility. And not only should we take the gospel to others, we must take the gospel to others, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And as we just mentioned at the start of our lesson in Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15, the only way the world will hear it, the only way people we know will learn of it, is if we tell them, unless they hear the word of God. And there are lost souls all around us. There are lost souls waiting to hear the truth, or waiting or wanting it to be presented to them. We have that truth. And some, y'all all know people I don't know. I'm not familiar with this area. Y'all know people I don't know, and you will be able to converse more readily, or to be able to relate to other people more readily, because you know them, you're familiar with them. As mentioned, you know, my family is all Baptist. That's something I'm still working on. It's a difficult road. It's a long process. I keep trying. I think it was the eldership here last time I was up here. They gave me the Muscle and a Shovel book. I gave that to my dad. I'm hoping he'll read through it and be honest and examine what it says. We talk all the time, but I haven't been able to get him to actually sit down and study. So hopefully he'll read that and come to at least question, want to know more. But there are people out there who want to know the truth, and they need to hear it. We can't sit back and think, well, nobody out there really wants to hear it. You know, our country's a mess. That's apparent. But there are people out there who still want to hear God's word. Matthew 9, 35 through 38 talks about the opportunity that is at hand. And Jesus went, in verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9, and Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep with no shepherd. They saith unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous." Then he saith unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." The Lord's church throughout the country, throughout our world, is not struggling because of a lack of opportunity to share the gospel, to share God's word to people. We struggle because of a lack of effort on our part. Our families, our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our country, the opportunity is there right on our doorstep. We don't have to go overseas. We don't have to go to another country. It's right outside our doors. And too often we look the other way. We expect them to come through these doors. We expect them to walk to us. And then we may decide to help them. That's not how it works. Jesus didn't say be reclusive and sit back and wait for people to come to us. He said, go. We have to get out into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. The need is there for the gospel to be shared. The need isn't for more harvest to be ready. It's there. The need is for more laborers to go out into the harvest and get to work. And that's what's required for the church to grow and prosper. I'm not talking just about this congregation. I'm talking about the church as a whole. That is what is required for the church to grow throughout the world. It can be difficult at times, but we have a lot of tools at our disposal. What did they have to do in the first century to take the gospel to somewhere? They had to, the apostles, Paul wrote letters. He traveled on foot, perhaps, maybe on a beast of burden, a donkey or a horse, a camel, something like that. He took ships. We have it easy. We have cars. We can get across the city in a matter of minutes. We can get across the state, the great state of Texas, in a matter of hours. We get across the country in a couple of days. We can get across the world by airplane in hours. We have cell phones in our pockets where we can call anybody we know in an instant. We have the internet where we could communicate across the world in an instant, and we do less. It's made us complacent. We don't even need to carry, we don't even have to carry a hard copy of the Bible around. We have it on our phone. There's so many applications on your phone that you can use to have the Bible at hand. And so easy now, you don't even have to memorize book, chapter, and verse. You can just type in the verse you're thinking of, the wording, kind of the wording, and it'll pop up and tell you the book, chapter, and verse. And yet we get lazy. We have it so easy compared to the first century church, and yet we get complacent. We don't do as much as we should. None of us do. And there's always room for improvement. In sharing the gospel, there is always room for improvement. If we aren't taking God's word to others, why are we not doing it? Why not? Are we lazy? Are we hearers of the word but not doers of the word, as Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says? Are we forgetful hearers that we hear it and let it go straight through us, James 1, 22 through 25? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Do we think, they really don't want to hear it? Maybe it isn't for everyone. Romans 1, 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek," as we mentioned this morning. That means everyone. We shouldn't be ashamed because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And how do people believe? They have to hear. And how do they hear? Except when someone takes it to them. All comes back to that. Do we think God's word is not powerful enough to change the hearts of men? That's what I know. I've had that thought sometimes. Think, he wouldn't listen. I know him. He'd never want to. I know what kind of life he lives. Hebrews 4:12 says otherwise, though. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word is powerful. Do we think we can tell who will obey the gospel and who will not? Because we don't know the hearts of men, only God does. Again, who converted you or who taught you? Did they sit there and think, maybe Royce, I don't think he'd really listen. Or Terry, I don't think Terry'd listen. I know that guy. I don't know either of them that well, I'm not saying anything bad against them. But they didn't say that. They taught you. They took the time to teach you. God is the only one who knows the hearts of men. If we say this guy will never listen, we're saying we know better than God. And two, we're saying that God's word is not powerful enough to change the hearts of men, and we can't say that. We shouldn't have that mindset. If that's our mindset, we need to reexamine ourselves spiritually. But as was mentioned this morning, does that mean everyone will be converted? No. Not everyone we talk to will be converted. But that's not for us to decide. We don't read, "Go make disciples of the people you think may actually want to listen," or "Go make disciples of some nations, but not those really bad nations. Leave them alone." Go and take the gospel to all nations. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All man needs God's word. All man needs redemption from sin. And that's where we come in. That's where God's word comes in. It is available to all man. And it is us up to us to take God's word to as many people as we can and not pick and choose who we think it is worthy, who is worthy of it. And again, too often we get complacent. We'll compartmentalize our lives. And we'll have our Christian life over here for Sunday or maybe Wednesday as well. We'll have our family and friends over here. And then we'll have close acquaintances or associates over here. Have a work compartment, an entertainment compartment. We keep it all separate at times. It's not how our lives should work, especially regarding Christianity. Christianity is a full-time job for everyone. It shouldn't be just one compartment of our life that we try to fit into the rest of our life, or that we try to fit everything around, or that we try to fit around our other schedules. It's an all-encompassing worldview and lifestyle. Showing up here on Sunday should not be the extent of our Christianity. Punching a time card here in worship is not enough to get to heaven. It's not going to be good enough. Part of being a Christian is reaching out to others. It isn't just important for their souls, which it very, very much is, but it's also important for our souls. We have to be fruitful. We have to be fruitful servants. John 15, 1 through 6 talks about being fruitful. It says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown in the fire, and burned. Unfruitful branches are worthless. They'll be gathered up and thrown in the fire. We cannot deceive ourselves into thinking that just showing up every week and living a pretty moral life is all that we need to do. We have to be fruitful. We have to produce fruit. We have to be laborers in the harvest. Another great example is a very familiar few verses, which would be the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, 1 through 9. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him so that he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, some seed fell along the path, the birds came and devoured it. Others fell on the rocky ground, and when they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. There it is again, got to hear. A lot of different kinds of soils, or a few different kinds of soils. The seed will take in some, not others. Again, that's not for us to decide. He explains it here in verses 18 through 23. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, that is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He has no roots in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proved unfruitful. As for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in some cases 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. Again, first of all, which soil are we? We're here. So which soil are we? Are we... There's really only two possibilities, maybe a few more, maybe one of the others, but really two. We can either be rocky ground who receive the word but don't really have any roots, and we have a chance of being overtaken when trials or tribulations come. We could be the ones among the thorns. We could have the care. We could be here, be on fire, having heard the word, yet Sometimes the cares of the world can come back and bite us, and the riches choke out that word, and we prove unfruitful. Or are we the good soil? Are we the one that hears it, understands it, and bears fruit? Have you bore fruit? Do you plan to bear fruit? Are you trying to bear fruit? And second, if we haven't bore fruit, how do you? How do you bear fruit? We've already established that for one to believe, they have to hear. In order for one to hear, it has to be preached or taught. They have to have someone take it to them. How does the parable of the sower begin? Verse 3 of Matthew 13. A sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow. In order to bear fruit, we have to go out and sow. We have to sow the seed, the word of God, into the hearts of men. Life is short. Death is unexpected. We don't know how long we have here on earth to share God's word, and we don't know how long others have on earth to hear God's word. The task at hand is of the utmost importance for our souls and for the souls of men. You know, I read a statement regarding the parable of the sower. It was something along these lines. It was, what kind of living would you make as a farmer if you sowed seed the way you're sowing God's word? What kind of living would you make as a farmer if you sowed seed the way you're sowing God's word? It's an interesting thought. I think a lot of us would live in poverty, having a hard time. Something to think about as we get ready to dismiss. How would we be living? How much do we sow God's word into the hearts of men? So as we get ready to depart from here, are we doing all we can to reach out to others? Do we put the souls of men as the most valuable thing for us to focus on in this world? Or do we let the cares of the world overwhelm us and choke out that world? Do we let the trials and tribulations of the world that rise up against us, do we let that press us down and become unfruitful? This is your first time hearing the word of God. You have not obeyed that gospel. There are some things you must do, as we just examined. You have to hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've done that this morning. You've heard the word of God. You have to believe. John 8:24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. After that, we have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before him, before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. We have to repent of our sins. That's not simply being sorry for what we've done, but that is turning away from those things, that former lifestyle that made us at odds with God. Acts 17:30. And at the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And following that, we have to be baptized into Christ. We must be immersed into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And then finally, after that, the word has been sown in your heart. You can't just stop there. We have to continue on and remain faithful and be fruitful. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If you've done these things and perhaps have had the cares of the world overwhelm you, or had temptation or trials and tribulations overwhelm you, now is the time to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.